Today's reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. So that's John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Welcome to our Easter services. Jesus, strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We are continuing in the book of John. Last week, Bart looked at the raising of Lazarus from death. And today, a chapter later, we see something very strange. Why do I call it strange? Because here in the crowd, we have a crowd shouting "Hosanna to the King," and a few days' time, they'll be shouting "Crucify him." To understand this change, I'm going to read the passage and work through it in a different order to the way the verses were read earlier. According to my girls, and I presume their school teachers, when you're trying to understand a story, you ask yourself some questions. Who, what, where, when, how, and why? These six questions are a little bit long for a sermon, and so I'll be answering three of those questions today. The first question I want to ask is, who was in the crowd? Secondly, what was the crowd doing? And thirdly, how did Jesus come into Jerusalem? Who was in the crowd? Let's read verses 17 to 18 again. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he'd given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. These were Jewish people coming to Jerusalem, looking for a king that they'd expected for many, many years. And they found a miracle maker. They only followed him because they had seen or heard about what happened to Lazarus. This crowd was made up of many people from different towns and areas of Israel, and all Israel wanted to get rid of their oppressors, the Romans. They were coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, and Jerusalem was a very special city to the Israelites. It still is today. This is the city where kings were anointed and began their reigns. It was the place where the Messiah would be revealed. Even today, when Jewish people still celebrate the Passover, they finish off the required words of the Seder with these words, "Next year in Jerusalem." The crowds today were looking for Jesus, for what he could do for them. Would he bring healing for sicknesses? Would he bring food from fish and bread and feed thousands of people? Would he bring new life for someone who had died? Or closer to home, would he take back Jerusalem from the Romans? Today we find these same crowds in different places, looking for a God who will meet their every desire. God, if you heal me, I will follow you all the days of my life. God, if you just let me win the lottery, I will give you 10%. Or, If you just dot, 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 whatever, I will call you my king. In so doing, these people are not looking for a king, but rather looking for a servant to do their bidding. We want to make ourselves the king. We want to have our strength for today. We want to make our hope for tomorrow. But Jesus doesn't want people like that. Jesus wants people who recognize ourselves as sinners, people needing a savior. And because we love him, we choose to obey him, not to give him instructions. We want to have the strength for today that comes from him, and we want to have his hope for tomorrow, for the future kingdom. The crowds then and the crowds now fade when they realize that God's promises are not for eternity. They're not so focused on making us great in today's days. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater and I must become less." This is what God desires of us. So now we know who was in the crowd. We need to ask a second question. What was that crowd doing? Let's look at verses 12 to 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." The people had come to Jerusalem in time for the Passover. And because of Jesus' miracles, they were planning on making him their king. And in order to do so, they were waving palm trees and shouting, "Hosanna!" and singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." What a powerful song to sing to someone. What a powerful reminder for their nation of the Messiah who was coming. They were shouting, "Hosanna." What does that word mean? Hosanna means, "Save us, please." It was an exclamation of praise, a shout to say, "Jesus, take us away from these Romans. We want to serve you. Become our king." It comes from Psalm 118, and it continues as they continued. Psalm 118, verse 25 to 26 says this, "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." This was a messianic psalm. And in shouting it to Jesus, they were saying, "You are our Messiah. We want to make you our king." We heard already that the crowd came looking for a miracle worker, for a king, and now their words were matching up. They were saying, "We recognize that you were the Messiah. We recognize that you come in the name of the Lord. And now we'll show our belief with an action." The action was they were waving palm trees. For Israelites, waving a palm branch was the equivalent of the V sign after the war. The palm leaves were Israel's way of saying, "We are winning. We have the victory. Look at us now. We're on the move." But these words and actions were short-lived. On this day, we see people expressing kingship for Jesus, for what he would do in their natural lives. But when he did not make war on Rome, when he did not declare himself as king, they did not choose to follow him. They changed their hearts. They changed their minds. And instead of following him as their king, they turned on him and chose instead to follow their religious leaders. These leaders who would surely know the Messiah did not follow Jesus. They wanted to put him to death. And so the crowd shouted, "Crucify him." their selfish reasons for trying to follow him turn to hatred. We too are called to love God and to love our neighbors, but not what they can do for us, but for the reason what Jesus has already done for us. Remember, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the words or even the outward actions of one day. The crowds were looking for a king. They were giving Jesus the words and actions of their king. But was Jesus the king they really wanted? Let's answer our third question. How did Jesus come into Jerusalem? Verses 14 to 16. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, that they had done these things to him. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The disciples have no idea why he was coming on a donkey instead of a war horse. But looking back, they understood. They, like the crowds, expected Jesus to make war on Rome. But Jesus, in choosing to come on a donkey, showed his kingdom was bringing peace. He was bringing reconciliation, not war with Rome. And an even greater battle, peace and reconciliation with God. He was bringing the kingdom of God, which would stretch from sea to sea. He was fulfilling Zechariah 9:9-10. Bart already read that first verse in the all-age slot, but let me continue it. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the world." We know from this prophecy in Zechariah that Jesus was coming to remove war horses and battle bows. He was coming as a king, but not the kind of king the crowds were expecting. He was coming as a king to bring peace to all mankind, not just the nation of Israel. And this is why Jesus came on a donkey, because his kingdom is the hope for tomorrow. Not only for Jews, but also for Romans, also for Greeks, and yes, also for the English. In conclusion, let us ask, why is this important? And let's look at verse 19. "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" The response to this entrance into Jerusalem was that the Pharisees recognized the whole world was going after Jesus. And so they needed a new plan to stop him. And that plan made them kill Jesus within a week. Let's look back a few verses to verses 9 to 11. "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So when the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for an account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him." The Pharisees were planning all along to kill both Lazarus and Jesus. The plan was slightly flawed because Jesus had already raised Lazarus to life. Killing Lazarus doesn't really sound like the most brilliant of plans. But now they improved their plan and focused intently on Jesus. This started off what we now call the Holy Week. But for them, it was a planned execution of someone who was teaching a different message to them. What does that mean for me and you today? We have 1 week to go before Easter Sunday. We are currently self-isolating. What are we using that week for? The Pharisees used that week to plan, arrest, and crucify Jesus. God Almighty had a plan from the beginning of the world for that week to be the week where the Lamb was sacrificed on the cross for the sins of the world. He also planned to raise his son from the grave to life eternal and to start off a new kingdom of peace. That was the reason why Jesus was riding on a donkey. How about you? How about me? What are we doing this week? Can I encourage you, if you're not a Christian, would you take this week to read the Easter story, continue from where we are, reading through the book of John to the end? Talk to other Christians in order to hear from God and accept his kingship in your life. Please feel free to either email Bart or myself at any time about any questions you may have regarding the Christian faith. But if you are a Christian and you're listening to this, use this week to wait on God. Use this week to shout Hosanna and to sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Recognize that Jesus is the King of Peace. Recognize that when you go through stressful times or when you feel anxious about what is happening, he is our strength for today. You can cast your cares onto Jesus because he cares for us, his citizens. Spend time in prayer, asking God, "Save me, please. Help me place my hope in you for tomorrow." Recognize that God is the true King. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we are thankful that Jesus did come on that Palm Sunday so many years ago, that he came into Jerusalem to start a new kingdom, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom not just for Jewish people, but for nations all around the world. We thank you that as this kingdom was started there, we too can be included in that kingdom, that you have called us to be part of that kingdom, that you allow us entrance into that kingdom. Thank you that we can say, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." And we can know that you do, because your word is truth. So be with us all today and in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.